Hello and welcome to this week's message from Ed Carter, Senior Pastor of Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download them from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of our church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
A few years ago now, Michelle and I and the children got a chance to go to Balmoral. Has anybody else been to Balmoral in Scotland? It's the Queen's Scottish residence. And it's a castle. What did you say? We didn't take children, it was just us two. No, we've been twice though. We've been before as well. Yeah. And we had a look round because the Queen wasn't at home. Because you can't look round when the Queen's at home. But the Queen was out somewhere else. And so we had a look round and you pay a ticket and you go through some of the house, some of the castle, because it's including their huge hall where they have their dances, and it's got like stags on the wall, as you would imagine, and all the kind of crests and things. And you walk through the living spaces, and they're all set out beautifully with all the kind of, you know, nice stuff and big fire. You can imagine, right? But when we left, the guide said that they take all the stuff down and the royal family used the rooms exactly as they were. They were their rooms. We weren't being shown something that they didn't use. It was just like that. And as I was going through, I don't know about you, when I go through places, I think, wouldn't it be cool if the Queen was there? Yeah? Wouldn't it be really cool? And she said, you know, Ed, why don't you come and sit down and have some tea with me? Wouldn't that be cool? And he could sit down and he could have tea, or perhaps Prince Charles, or the new princes, Harry and William, and their families. And they said, hey, come and meet the family. Wouldn't that be so amazing? And I've talked to one or two people that have been to, like, the Queen does like teas in the back garden in summer, invites dignitaries and stuff. I've told one or two people who've been to those teas and that they say, you kind of line up and you have your moment with the Queen. And you see the pictures of the people that get the OBEs and the MBEs, and they kind of walk up, don't they, in their frocks and their ties and stuff, and they come up and they do the bow and so on. Wouldn't it be amazing just once to meet the Queen or the King in future? And the thing is, church, we kind of get that. And as I was preparing this morning, I had a message set and that I thought I'd do it. I think all God wants to say to us this morning is each one of us get to be in the presence of God whenever we want. You know, I walked around that castle and I dreamed and thought, wouldn't it be fun, wouldn't it be amazing to meet the Queen, to meet our monarch? And it would be. And I think sometimes as Christians, we kind of wander around in our life. We kind of do life, family life, or work life, or in the gym, you know, where the difficult places are in your life, and we kind of forget that we can do it in and with the presence of God. God is always available to us. And the presence of God is a truly wonderful thing, something that Jesus died for. Hebrews 7 explains a little of this. Hebrews 7 verse 23 says this. Now there have been many priests, so we're talking about Old Testament priests, there's many Old Testament priests, and they used to offer sacrifices of God to God so that both they and the people they represented could be forgiven, so they could be righteous enough to enter the presence of God, right? That's what the priests were doing. Now there's been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office, but because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he's able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Jesus, the high priest, is in heaven, temple, and he's always there. And because he's done it perfectly, it means we have perfect access. You see, such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, and set apart from sinners. Exalted above the heavens, unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sin and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for the sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priest men who are weak, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son who's been made perfect forever. And then in Hebrews 10, the writer of the Hebrews goes on to say this in Hebrews 10, verse 19. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence, because of what Jesus has done, to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, Jesus' body, his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to this hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. You see, God has made a way for each one of us to be in his presence. And he calls us into it. He says, Ed, you can come into my presence. He says, Dave, you can come into my presence whenever you want. He says, Mark, you can come into my presence whenever you want. He says to Sarah, you can come into my presence whenever. He calls us. And it is a privilege. Christian, it's a privilege that we get. And it's offered to all, not just to those who are Christians, but to all to come in if they so choose through what Jesus has done. And it's a wonder. And this morning, I want to say, have you lost the wonder of being in the presence of God? Has it become kind of normal? Has it become usual? Has the wonder of being able to walk into the very presence of God and be with him, have you lost the wonder? Has it become normal? Because it's a wonderful thing. It's far more wonderful than meeting the Queen. But trust me, if you met the Queen, you would come here next weekend and the first thing you'd tell everybody is what? Guess what I did this week? I got invited to Buckingham Palace and I personally met the Queen, or I met Prince Charles, or do you know, I bumped into Prince William. You tell us, right? Why? Because it's a wonderful thing. And it is a wonderful thing. It will be really cool. But encountering God, being with him, is a far more wonderful thing. Have you forgotten the wonder of being able to go into the presence of God? I suspect so many of us, include myself in this, have forgotten the wonder, the privilege that it is. And this wonder of being able to in the promise of God is actually something we call prayer. It's something we call, it's access through prayer. Prayer, what's prayer? Prayer's communicating with God. It's speaking, listening, and just being with, right? Do you know your best relationships in life? You're your best friend, hopefully husband and wife, right? You talk to each other, which involves speaking, but sometimes you just be with them, right? You don't have to always talk, always listen. Sometimes you're just with them. And that's enough. It's enough. And that's what prayer's about. That's what the presence of God is about. It's talking and listening and just simply being, as it were, sitting in the presence of God. Ephesians 6, verse 18 says, pray on all occasions. Often, put time aside to enter into the presence of God. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, Paul writes, pray continually. What he's trying to say is, you know, God's always with you. He's promised in Matthew 28 to be always with you. So remember that and communicate and be in his presence in one sense. Always. Both of those statements are true, right? Times aside for prayer, and you're with God always. You're always in his presence. And you have a chance to be in his presence in kind of special moments. Jesus talks about being with God, about prayer, in Matthew chapter 6 and Luke chapter 7. And I want to read both these passages out to you to help you see how to make the most. Maybe for some of you to regain the wonder of being in the presence of God. Matthew 6, verse 5. Jesus says this to his disciples. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, says Jesus, they have received their reward in full. But when you go pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words.
Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. I love that. I love God knows already. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debtors, or forgive us our sins as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, then your Father will not forgive your sins. And then Luke 7 records a similar story, a similar time, but kind of put some bits around it. So Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Says this, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then he said to them, suppose one of you had a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has just come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Do you have friends like that? Who turn up at midnight? We have one or two that turn up at midnight. We love them dearly. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you though, he will get up and give him the bread because he is your, not because he is your friend, yet because of the man's boldness. He will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, asking will be given to you. Seeking it, you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more? I want to say that it is a privilege and honor, a wonder to be in the presence of God. But there is a way of entering rightly and correctly, as it were, so that your time with God is life-changing, both for yourself and for those who you love, and for those, actually, who you don't like, who you might consider enemies. Because being with God in prayer, in his presence, is the most life-changing thing that you can do. I have discovered in my darkest days, my solution to my problem is God and his presence and nothing else. And perhaps there's some here this morning, you love God and you believe in him, but your days aren't good, or you're going through hardship or trouble or suffering or loss. Can I say, make it your first, your middle, and the last thing you do, which is to seek out the presence of God and be in him. You can talk, you can babble, God doesn't mind. But get to a place of being with him and let him, as it were, to put his arms around you and just say, I love you. I know you're in a broken world. I know you're hurting. I know there's pain. But let me put my love and my joy, my hope, my life back in you, despite circumstances, despite what is going on, to come into my presence. And Jesus mentions a few things which I want to mention to you. He says it's best done in private. There's a place of public prayer that for sure, and we believe in that, and we will carry on doing that. But real intimacy is done privately with God. And we read time and time again that Jesus withdrew to a quiet place to hang out with God, which is crazy, right? Because he was God already. It's like he withdrew to hang out with himself. But why did he do it? Well, he did it because he needed it, I think, as the human part of him. But also as an example for us, that we would not. And the Bible says sometimes Jesus spent all night in prayer. Now, I think he probably fell asleep. Away. I was listening to a message the other day. I can't remember who it was now. But they said this. They said, God doesn't mind if you fall asleep in his presence. Do you know if you've got your son and daughter on your lap and you're a parent and they're talking to you and they fall asleep on your lap, do you get cross with them as a father or a mum? You just go, oh, it's real nice, right? And God doesn't mind. Don't do it all the time, right? But God doesn't mind for us to withdraw on our own to be with him. You know, Jesus, after he'd fed 5,000, power had left him. It says he sent the disciples off in Matthew chapter 14, and he withdrew and spent some time praying and being with God. Private is so important. Matthew also says it needs to be purposeful. It needs to be purposeful. He says, don't babble. Don't go on and on and on and on. Now, if you're an introvert here or at Lancaster, and if you're a Dave Scholes, for example, you know, Dave's probably not going to babble, right? He's going to, God, it's prayer time. I have my list. I'm well organized. Pray for this. Pray for that. Pray for this. It's all good. And 5 minutes with you. And then done. I'm joking. I'm sure it's much more spiritual than that. So, but some of you aren't introverts and you're not well planned. You kind of turn up and you begin, right? You start talking and talking and talking, and you're pouring out your soul and everything's going on. And then after about half an hour, you look at your watch and go, oh my goodness, half an hour's gone. How did that happen? Well, I can tell you how it happened. You talked a lot. And I better go, I've got things to do. But what Jesus is saying, if you're like that, stop it a bit. God knew before you started what your soul was like and what was going on. He wants you to talk to him, but he also wants you to stop and to listen. And then eventually to be. And it's being in his presence which will heal your soul, not talking in his presence or just listening in his presence. It's being. It's allowing his spirit to come and minister to you in those quiet moments, to heal you from the inside out. And church, I would long that each one of you would learn not just to talk, which is great to talk to God, or listen to God, that's great as well, but you would learn to be in his presence, to receive his comfort, as it were, to feel his arms around you when there's nothing communicated. Because in those moments, when you need him, he will come and minister to your soul like no other being in the universe can do. And that's what he longs to do. It's why Jesus came and died. Sure, he died so we could have a talking relationship, a listening relationship, but he came so we could be with him. And for some of you, so be purposeful in my... Luke says it should be persistent. Luke says it should be persistent. You know, he talks about if you turn up at your neighbor's house at midnight and ask for 3 loaves of bread. And he says, go away, my door's locked. But if you persist, he will open his door and give you the bread. Why? Because he wants to get rid of you. Now, that's not what God wants to do, right? He doesn't want to get rid of you. But what Jesus is trying to say is, don't give up when it gets hard. Don't give up when you feel like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. Because they're not. They're not. He's heard every word. When it seems difficult, when God seems far away, when heaven seems silent, because it's not. God is always with you and heaven's never far away. We sing a new song, don't we, about the gap between reality is just wafer thin. I forget what the thing's called now. The space between, that's the one. Yeah. Persist. God is close. You are close. I think I'm an okay pastor, right? Pastor. I have my moments. But it seems to me that many Christians, in the harder times, they don't persist in seeking God's heart and face. And as God calls them to go deeper with him, to experience new things with him, to go places where actually we always long to go, but we'll need a bit of work on our behalf. God calls us. We kind of give up. And what Jesus is trying to say, what Luke records is Jesus saying, keep going. On the other side is something far more beautiful and wonderful. An experience, a knowledge that you will never, ever, ever regret. When I was at Bible college, I got really tired and cheesed off with life, basically. And I set off one afternoon, I think, I said to my wife, Michelle, I think I'll go for a drive. And we were down on the south coast at Bournemouth. So I started off on my drive to kind of clear my head and just think. And I drove and I went all the way up to Ringwood, which is north. Got onto the, whatever that A road's called, A34. And I turned right and I went to the A34 until I hit the M3. And And then I went for the M3 and I went north. And then on that road, I stopped. And you're going to think this is weird, right? I stopped at a service station to telephone back to Michelle. Because that would never happen anymore, right? Because you pull your mobile out and you just do it, right? But in those, and I rang back and I said, Michelle, I'm where I am. And she said, well, where are you going? I said, I don't know. I might go home. And I went back to my parents' house. I drove all the way north. And my parents sent me to the doctors. And I went through lots of blood tests and scans and all sorts of things. Because normally I'm a bright chappy and got energy and stuff. And they thought I had leukemia. And somebody mentioned that to me. And it's a weird thing. Because my cousin died from leukemia. And to look at death in the face and go, am I okay with this? And it wasn't a pleasant experience, as you can imagine. It wasn't fun. But I persevered. I kept praying. I kept reading. I kept listening. I tried to do what I'd always put in the pattern of my life, was to stop and just be. And I learned a closeness and intimacy with God, which set me up to do what I'm doing now. I want to say that I never want to go through the experience again because it was horrible. But on the other side was a gift that God gave me, which was so precious, is so precious, that I don't regret going through it. I'm so glad I went through it, actually, but I'm glad I went through it with God in his presence. And you, because there's something wonderful in the presence of God. And in case you're wondering, I didn't have leukemia. They discovered that I had Gilbert's syndrome. Anybody know what Gilbert's syndrome is? Gilbert's syndrome is a problem with my pancreas. So when I get tired and off, it pumps out too much of certain junk. So I go yellow. So if I get really ill, I go yellow. Isn't that fun? But it doesn't have any other effect on me. So there we go. That's good. Private, purposeful, persistent. Both passages, both Matthew and Luke, begin their prayer with glorifying God. Glorifying God. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Glorify God. And if we're going to get the most out of our relationship, the wonder of his presence, we need to begin and end with glorifying God in it. We come to worship him. We come to acknowledge who he is. We come to understand that he knows best, and we're there to listen and to follow his instructions, not because he's trying to be horrible or dictatorial, but because he has the best in our life, has the best for us. And we've come to honor and to glorify him. And as we come and as we maybe metaphorically kneel before him, sit in his presence, we actually can receive, but we need to glorify him. Now, I don't think God minds as we're kneeling before him if we get a bit cross with him or we get irritated with him as we unburden our heart before him, because he knew already. It's not like he didn't know. He actually knew all about the fact that you're going to get cross with him when he saved you. So there's no surprises. So he doesn't mind. Just be purposeful and don't talk the whole time and let him come back and comfort you, put his arms around you and take care of you. And the final thing that Matthew says particularly, if we're going to have a powerful and life-changing experience of our Heavenly Father, if the wonder of his presence is going to really fill our lives, is we need to learn about forgiveness. We need to learn about forgiveness in our lives. The forgiveness that God has given us. Because God has offered his forgiveness to you. Jesus died on your behalf because each one of us was far from God and we'd rebelled against him. And punishment was due us, and Jesus took that punishment on the cross, and he offers us forgiveness, and we need to accept it fully and wholly, that we are truly forgiven. And I meet far too many Christians, I've said this before from here, far too many Christians that don't understand the depth and completion of the forgiveness that God has given you. There is nothing left that needs forgiving. There's nothing impure left in your life. Jesus washed everything away when he died on the cross. Need to accept that forgiveness, but we also need to learn to forgive others. And there's far too many Christians that carry a chip on the shoulder, a pain in their heart, a scar which is still slightly seeping from something that people did a long time ago. And when Jesus died on the cross, he came to take that away so that we can completely forgive everybody. You see, God longs that you would come and enjoy his presence, that the wonder of the presence will be in life. He longs that you would come and allow him to come and do what only he can do so that your life can be all that it was created to be. But as part of that, we need to both receive the forgiveness that God has and also learn to forgive others. We will always be missing something from God if we don't forgive another. I'm not saying it's easy, but I do know that God will help us as we learn to forgive and to let go of that pain, that suffering, that mark in our life. It is part of the healing process. I haven't got time, but you can read, there's a parable of the unmerciful servant in Matthew 18, which you can read, which Jesus tries to unpack that for us.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter at @valley_church or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.